All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual set for a very consequential main event fight at BKFC 44, which goes down on June the 9th. And, I mean, consequential just with it being the main event, but even more so with it being for that inaugural featherweight championship, as Kai Stewart and Louis Lopez will toe the line and knuckle up in a very obviously important 145-pound bout. And great having Kai on the show today. How's everything going so far, man? You having a good day so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice, bright Memorial Day weekend. Just went out and bought a bike. I'm going to go and put some miles in, and whenever we wrap this up. And other than that, like, we're just grinding every single day, you know?
Yeah, and it seems like it's going to pay off in a big way here, just with, like, the localized connection you have to Great Falls, Montana, and from the top mentioning that it's for the, you know, first ever BKFC featherweight champion. So is everything kind of just like aligning perfectly in those kind of regards?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's aligning perfectly for me because this is my hometown, been my hometown. It's a dream come true to be able to fight for my first world title, bare knuckles, first 145-pound title, the opportunity to become the youngest champion, all in front of my home crowd that I've had since I wrestled on these mats in town. So everything's full circle. Everything happens for a reason. And I just truly think the stars are aligning for it to be my night.
Yeah, I mean, you put a lot into it for sure. Like you're saying, you could definitely be one of the younger individuals to, you know, cement yourself as a champion and really put yourself in certain elite company. But I guess I'm kind of wondering with this whole, you know, situation, because it seems like there's a level of, I guess, pretty intense banter, maybe even something more than that potentially here. Like, I saw you had a post indicating that, you know, he pulled out from 3 MMA fights over the course of 3 years and that there's certain, you know, beef with him. Like, when did you, I guess, notice that the heat on this really started turning up and it became like a bit more than, I guess, a competitive rivalry, so to say?
Well, almost instantly, which is what led to him calling me out in MMA back in 2019. I think it was August of 2019. And right before a MMA fight, there was a rainstorm. He was first fight of the night. I was second fight of the night. And he just left. He left the arena. This wasn't against me, but this is where our beef started. And some of my family missed my fight because they were a little bit late to the show. But instead of being second fight of the night, I was first fight of the night because he ran out, blamed it on the rain, and I started some banter there. I definitely started it, but then he would call me out, and boom, that's kind of how she all started, and then it snowballed into this huge rivalry. I'm big rivals with his coach as well, so it's just it's a big deal up here in Great Falls. Everybody knows about this rivalry.
And I was noticing in some of the press material for this, like the language of crosstown rival being that he's also from the area. Like, are you noticing almost certain, you know, division in the area? Like, are there certain, like, you know, Kai Stewart people that are out there, and conversely certain like Louis Lopez people out there who are, you know, picking sides, as it were?
I truly believe that the only people that are not going to be rooting for me are people that go to his gym. I'm from here. He's not from here. Him and his coach moved in here. They both caused problems in the community. And I just really think that there is division. There's a little bit because they do have a pretty decent-sized gym over there. But other than that, you talk about fans from Great Falls, they're going to be filling that arena for me.
And I was noticing, per the words of Dave Feldman, that this is going to be the 4th event in Montana and the 3rd specifically in, you know, Great Falls. So kind of just within that sort of context there, I imagine that would excite you, but I guess just like wondering your, you know, broader thoughts on that, just with this becoming a bit more of a popular, you know, market for the company and you seeming to play a key role in that, you know, sort of expansion as they, you know, continue to put on events there.
Yeah, I've been on Montana cards since they came here. I've fought on all 3 of them, and this will be my 4th, and 4th time's the charm for a main event. So I love it. Like, our arena is only like 4,100, 4,200 people. So Maybe more. I think more than that. Maybe 4,500, counting all the tables. But in the grand scheme of things, they're selling out 17,000 capacity arenas. Yet they're coming to Great Falls, and as of right now, I'm the face of the card. So it really feels special for me, but I feel it's even more special for the Great Falls community, because everybody's always talking about how there's nothing to do here. Well, we're bringing something to do, and we're bringing Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, which is so surreal, because Bare Knuckle is, like, mainstream. Bare Knuckle is, like, that promotion right now. Obviously, not quite on UFC level, but give us a couple more, give us some years, and we got it. We're going to be right up there.
Yeah, and I definitely have a lot more questions related to the matchup and just the area and stuff like that, but something I feel like I'd be remiss if I, you know, didn't touch on. Like, I'm noticing that you're, you know, back at the OG gym looking to, you know, really carve out that training camp to win a world title. Like, I saw you shouting out EC MMA, Team Wolfpack, Premier Pro Boxing, as well as Evolution Fighting Academy and everything like that. Like, you were shouting out Dave Evans and some individuals like that. So can you kind of talk about that? Like, do you feel like you're almost getting back to the roots a little bit as you kind of, you know, pursue this championship opportunity and stuff like that? Kind of what brought you to the dance, as it were?
Yeah, so we are a ragtag little team in downtown Great Falls. We do not, nobody makes any money off the gym. We literally all just pull together money to have the gym open. So it really is a private experience with the boys. And I went down to Albuquerque, New Mexico to Jackson Wink. And although the time was amazing, and I do think that it was great down there, it wasn't a bare-knuckle fight camp, but there were certain aspects that were missing to my game. And I really believe that that was my coaches and my roots and our little ghetto gym. I absolutely love it. I'm getting – the rise was kind of weird for me because, like, our gym, like I said, it's been mostly private. It's been mostly very, very small sessions, all that, but everybody down there is only down there to grind. So, like, everybody down there, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a lot of wrestling based, so there's a lot of wrestling mentality, and I also think that that is what gives me a lot of motivation and the quality training partners.
Yeah, and you talk about that, like, wrestling mindset, which I was noticing that's, like, a very key part of your foundation, just being a three-time Montana State finalist. And I mean, you're talking more on the mentality end of things, like in terms of the grind of preparation, but, like, within the actual, you know, competitive framework, I know it's a bit different, but just curious how much, I guess, the wrestling background pays dividends and maybe, like, working some of those active clinch positions and being able to, like, maneuver your opponent around. Like, can you speak to that?
Yeah, a lot of people discredit wrestling and bare knuckle, and I think that's silly just because of the mentality alone. I think that the wrestling mentality, the grind, especially a longtime wrestler, I wrestled before I completed, because I went pro in wrestling in bare knuckle and MMA, I could not do college anymore. So I put in, I think, 16 to 17 hard years of wrestling, and it's like, you can't teach that mentality. You can't teach that grind. You can't teach that work ethic. So I do think that I'm learning at an exponential rate. I also attribute that to my youth. I'm only 22 years old. So mix my ability to learn as a wrestler, my ability to grind as a wrestler. I don't see how anybody's going to match it.
And what was it kind of like getting to have that pro MMA debut since the last bare knuckle fight? I was even seeing you were looking to have a sophomore mixed martial arts bout, but it ended up getting canceled per Tapology. Like, what was it like to kind of make the professional foray into mixed martial arts, like, in between the last BKFC fight and this upcoming title bid in bare knuckle?
Yeah, I am motivated by competition, so I need to stay busy. So I was like, I'll take an MMA fight, and Frank Mino, he's absolutely an animal. And he had 8 fights going into the fight with me, so I was like, sure, I'll do it in front of my hometown. And it was like I was back at home. I absolutely love MMA. I bleed black and yellow right now. I really do not see another path for me for the foreseeable future. However, it felt good being able to use my wrestling. I didn't throw I threw maybe three punches the entire fight on the feet. The rest was I took him down, ground and pound. It was awesome. I miss it. I miss the grappling. I miss the wrestling. But I'm making absolute waves in BKFC. So I got to keep going.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I would think, though, that there'd be a certain level of confidence imparted in, the strides you've made in the striking. You talk about the tremendous depth with the wrestling and everything like that, but it very much seems like the striking end has obviously been quite evident in BKFC, so I would think even, that part of the journey would be satisfying beyond, the, I guess, profile and visibility you have in this sport now.
Yeah. Yeah, MMA is just a very saturated market, I think, and bare knuckle has a lot of people in it, so I think it's comparable. But you rewind to 2021, and the pool was still small, so I got my name in there, and it just, business-wise, makes absolutely no sense for me to attempt a money-making, clout chasing career in MMA because I really found what I'm doing in bare knuckle. So yep, you're right.
Yeah, and I mean evident too in the fact that you're, the number one ranked. I mean, it's kind of arbitrary in a certain sense, but also you're very much up there in terms of what people have seen so far. And I guess I'm kind of framing it in a certain way because we were talking before about how there is that bad blood with Louis Lopez, but he's also entering this as the number two ranked fighter in the division. I'm curious, do you very much see this as a defined number one versus number two? Has he done certain things in there and I guess shown certain attributes where you think, oh yeah, I'm for sure fighting the guy who should be opposite me in this kind of fight?
I am definitely not one to take away from anybody's accolades, no matter the hate, no matter what's going on. I do think that Louis Lopez had a lot of. I don't believe in luck. I do believe in happenstance, and I truly believe that the Howard Davis fight. I honestly think Louis was flown down there as a B-lister, and I think Howard Davis is still the number two guy in the division. I truly believe myself as the number one. But I think that Louis earned it, but he also got his jaw broken by Rusty Crowder. So there's just certain things that make you think, eh, but it's he did earn it. He did beat Howard Davis, so here we are.
And you kind of sort of illustrated the depth of the division too, talking about a guy like Howard Davis, who's obviously very much up there, and someone recently, that competed Jimmy Rivera. I mean, he was someone that obviously fought to a draw against Howard Davis prior, and it seemed like he was kind of putting his, hat in the proverbial ring there, apparently to the extent of even saying in an interview that someone told him his next foray out there would in fact be a title shot after he won on the last card there. So it seems like there's a certain level of depth to, the division in terms of getting the desired outcome and having a lot of challengers thereafter.
For Howard said that, or Jimmy Rivera said that?
Jimmy Rivera had said that, actually.
Interesting. He probably plans to fight sometime in 2024 again next, because then I could totally see that making sense, because he is a UFC name. He did look pretty good against Howard Davis, especially the height difference. So that's a fight that excites me. I actually really, really... looking ahead, because I truly believe I'm going to win this title. I put in the work. I put in the efforts. I would absolutely love to share a ring with Dat Nguyen or Jimmy Rivera, just because they're bigger names, and bigger names means bigger checks, and I've earned it, and I think I come out on the winning end of those fights too. So the division's definitely, definitely stacked, and it's growing, and it's exciting being the front runner and seeing all the talent, so...
Yeah, and especially like you were saying before, I mean, you're such a young talent in the sport, and I'm not saying this in any kind of way, obviously, but in a generalized sense, if you look at a lot of the guys who are champions, it's like they bring a certain level of combat sports experience that kind of is articulated in their age, still a lot left in the tank for sure. But I mean, you're a guy who's 22 years old, and you were kind of likening it to like when John Jones had won his first UFC title at a similar age. So I would think that, you know, there's just like boundless opportunity for you thereafter, maybe as compared to some of the other fighters who are like, you know, still a few great fights left in them for sure, but, you know, getting a little bit on the older side relative to where you're at.
One of my favorite statements that I have made regarding just that is most of these people, this is their option to be here because they need to fight. They, like, this is their last stop, and Lou, this includes Louis as well. This is my choice. I could be making a great career in MMA right now. I know I could, but in the end, I'm choosing to be here. They kind of have to be here. So I also think that I'm coming into this with a fresh mind, fresh set of skills, and the ability to learn, and youth is on my side.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know if I misconstrued this statement earlier, but it was almost seeming to indicate that you were thinking maybe Jimmy Rivera wouldn't, you know, be competing in that next fight until at a later kind of juncture. So do you maybe see someone else being like, I mean, we're entertaining the idea, obviously, that you get your desired outcome, but could you see someone more like a Howard Davis, who's like got a deeper track record of being like consistently active in BKFC, and maybe the Rivera fight is something that could manifest down the line more so, like I think you said 2024 or something?
Yeah, in my personal opinion, I truly believe they're going to give the next title shot in the division to Jack Wynn. He's getting old. He's getting to the point where he's not going to want to fight anymore. So I think it's going to be him next. That way it doesn't delay him. So because between bare knuckle fights, typically you need some time to rest and recover. So I think that win will be next, and then we'll see.
And it's a kind of a random question, I guess, but I'm sort of curious because you were, as we alluded to, were someone who was like in school and wrestling, like I believe it was the University of Providence as part of the Argo wrestling team. Do like some of your compatriots from that team like reach out to you now and, you know, ask what you're doing in bare knuckle? Like, are some of them kind of taken aback? Do some like think it's cool? I guess I'm kind of curious about that.
Nah. So it's a funny story, actually, and I'm trying just to be the bigger person, so I won't go too deep into it, but that team really does, like, there's a few people that will buy tickets from me and will support me, but in the grand scheme of things, I was on my own track in college. Like, everybody has their own, like, life things going on, and there are some times where during a fight camp I wouldn't be at practice, but I made sure, like, me and the coaches talked, but some of the students, some of the other wrestlers were actually very, very weird about it. I guess I don't want to be disrespectful to them because everybody can have their opinion, but they're like, you can't call yourself a wrestler if you're not here. And I was like, I was there, like, most of the time other than my fight career. So they didn't like, they actually do not like that I fight, and didn't like that I was a fighter as well as a wrestler. So, but a couple of them are cool. A couple of them have been down to the gym, and I think that I would love to see more of them at the gym because, I mean, wrestlers make the best fighters. You
know? Yeah, for sure, and I admittedly didn't know about that situation, so not trying to stir the pot, but a classy way to, you know, answer it all the same. And we're talking about a lot of the, I guess, like, partisan connections to this fight and everything like that. Like, I was noticing you had a post a couple weeks ago shouting out a certain little warrior that was able to, you know, battle cancer and, you know, got the W in that one, which is obviously hugely inspiring. And you wore the yellow ribbons in honor of her, like, at the last Great Falls event and stuff like that. Like, I've talked to certain fighters where it's almost like, I mean, they are proud to represent their area, but there's like a certain level of, I guess, pressure that accompanies it. But it seems like this is a thing that you really, I guess, draw a lot from. Like, it strikes me as something where you like really enjoy being like a leader or like a person at the very least to like look up to in the community. Can you kind of, you know, talk about some of those dynamics and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially whenever it comes to the youth, especially, and youth that think combat sports is a route for them, because it's kind of a little bit taboo whenever you're younger. I mean, fighting is becoming a lot more mainstream, so I think that it's changing a little bit, but like I I want to be that role model where if a kid needs a place to train because they're getting bullied, if a kid needs a place to train but can't afford it, I want my kids' club and everything that I do to help the next generation of combat sport athletes. That's my biggest thing. I know that a lot of times through competition, I do not seem so humble. I'm different in competition than I am in real life, and sometimes you're not supposed to admit that. I'll admit it just because I do enjoy helping people. I do enjoy helping the kids in the community, and I don't think I'm going to miss another wrestling season. I've been enjoying coaching so much that it's going to be permanently on my schedule. So,
I mean, maybe this isn't necessarily on the same wavelength as what you just said, but it kind of just popped up in my head as you were talking about it, like how it's like, yeah, I'll engage in like a bit of banter, but you know, liking to be a role model and certain things like that, and just having that almost duality of it, like probably serves a competitive benefit, I guess. In saying that, like, there's been that aforementioned, you know, trash talk with your opponent here. Do you foresee a scenario where you guys have this fight and then perhaps things could be settled thereafter, or has the bad blood, for lack of a better way to phrase it, just kind of run too deep at this point where that's like a viable kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm all like, to me, it's going to be like from a distance. Like, I want to see you eat, but just not at my table type of thing.
Okay.
Because one of my beef with that gym, him, Louie, and his coach, is just the ability to lie, and lying to destroy people's character, I think, is one of the absolute weirdest things anybody can do as human beings, and they've just done it too much for me to ever truly respect them. I will never train there. I've already trained there once, and it was just not for me. Whenever I win the belt, am I going to go up and say anything to Louis' face?
Kai Stewart and Louis Lopez helming that main event at BKFC 44 for the inaugural featherweight championship, and it all goes down on June the 9th. This is Bouks talking bouts.